In your Bibles, please, for our second reading to 1 Samuel chapter 9. First Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechorath, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, take now one of the servants with thee, and arise, go and seek the asses. And he passed through Mount Ephraim, and passed through the land of Shalisha, but they found them not. Then they passed through the land of Shalim, and there they were not. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they found them not. And when they were come to the land of Zuph, Saul said unto his servant that was with him, come, and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us. And he said unto him, behold, now there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither, peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. Then said Saul to his servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring to the man? For if the bread, is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God, what have we? And the servant answered Saul again and said, behold, I have here at hand a fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give to the man of God to tell us our way. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come and let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. Then said Saul to his servant, well said, come, let us go. So they went unto the city where the man of God was. And as they went up the hill to the city, they found young maidens going out to draw water, and said unto them, is the seer here? And they answered them and said, he is. Behold, he is before you. Make haste now, for he came today to the city. Or there is a sacrifice of the people today in the high place. As soon as ye be come into the city, ye shall straightway find him, before he go up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he come, and because he doth bless the sacrifice. And afterwards they eat that be bidden. Now therefore get you up, for about this time ye shall find him. And they went up into the city, and when they were come into the city, behold, Samuel came out against them, for to go up to the high place. Now, the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time, I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines, for I have looked upon my people, because their cry has come unto me. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, behold, the man whom I spake to thee of, this same shall reign over my people. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is. And Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me unto the high place, for ye shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let thee go, and will tell thee all that is in thine heart. And as for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee and on thy father's house? And Saul answered and said, am I not a Benjamite, the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all of the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me? And Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the parlor and made them sit in the chiefest place among them that were bidden, which were about 30 persons. And Samuel said, unto the cook, bring the portion which I gave thee, of which I said unto thee, set it by thee. And the cook took up the shoulder and that which was upon it and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, behold, that which is left, I set it before thee and eat, for unto this time hath it been kept for thee, since I said, I have invited the people. So Saul did eat with Samuel that day. And when they were come down from the high place into the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house. And they arose early, and it came to pass about the spring of the day that Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, up, that I may send thee away. And Saul arose, and they went out, both of them, he and Samuel, abroad. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, bid the servant pass on before us. And he passed on. But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, I think that one of the first and most impressive things that we get from this passage is the communication between the Lord and Samuel. Is that not so? There's a wonderful conversation going on here, some of which we're not privy to, some of which we are. And there are things going on here that are, well, it is obvious that the hand of God is working providentially and extraordinarily through Samuel the prophet. And so we have this really neat thing going on that here's what the Lord said in the ear of Samuel the day before. And then we see that Samuel takes all of that so very seriously that he plans and purposes things out because of what the Lord has said to him. The other thing that I felt was related to this is that when Saul and his servant are talking to one another, let's go see the prophet, that Saul says, well, if we go see him, what are we going to bring him? We can't expect him to tell us the word of God for free, can we? And the servant says, well, I've got a quarter shekel of silver. We'll give that to him. And Saul says, good plan, let's go. And so what do we see in both of those things? What is the common denominator between those two? The preciousness of the word of God, is it not? That from Samuel's standpoint, the Lord whispers something in his ear. And what does Samuel do? He immediately sets to action, putting all of these things in place because the word of God is important to him. And so we see even in these very earthy things, these mundane things, they come into the house. Samuel tips his forehead to the cook and he says, okay, remember that portion I told you about? Okay, bring that one out now. For whom? For a guy Samuel had not yet met. For a man the Lord told him he was going to meet today. And so take the sacrifice, take it apart, and this is our peace offering, and it is this celebration that we're having. And there's a shoulder that I want you to set aside for the guy I'll tell you about later when he comes in. Saul comes in. That's the shoulder. Give it to him. Samuel sees the word of God as something very precious. This is the guy that's going to be king. And so we'll begin to honor him now with a special portion. Saul, for his part, well, he said, we can't expect the prophet to prophesy for nothing. The word of God is precious. And so between Saul and between Samuel, we see the preciousness of the word of God. And I hope you see that too. I hope we all do. How precious, what a great privilege it is that we have the word of God in our laps. You've heard me say this before, and hopefully I'll say it a few more hundred times, that our spiritual forefathers, in some cases, having a Bible in their own language would have landed them in prison. And not a prison with three squares a day and a weight room. Okay? A prison where if your family didn't bring you anything, you didn't have anything. That includes food, clothes, a place to sleep, a bowl to do your business in, If they didn't bring it, you didn't have it. It was a filthy, stinking place that nobody wanted to be. And they were there because they had a Bible in their language. Because they loved the Word of God. There will be folks like that that rise up in the judgment. And we will be shamed. Will we not? So, that is one section of, or one overview of this passage that I wanted to mention. The second thing is the great start that Saul had. The great start. We see here a great start from who would soon be King Saul. First of all, we see his physical attributes. He's taller and better looking than anyone else in the kingdom. Nobody comes past his shoulder. I mean, I'm sure that's a generalization. There were people maybe a little taller. Seems like Saul was at least one of the tallest, if not the tallest in Israel, and one of the best looking, if not the best looking, in all of Israel. And so for a people that wanted a king, according to that nationalistic version, not the spiritual version, he was the right choice. He was everything that physical endowments could want. But not only that, Saul evinces here some diligence, some care, some concern for spiritual things, does he not? The first thing he says is his dad tells him, go find the asses, the donkeys that are lost. 3 days up and down the countryside he goes looking for them. He doesn't wear out after the first half day. He doesn't wear out after the second day. No, the third day he's still looking, and he comes to the end of the third day, and it's finally Samuel that tells him, don't worry about those anymore, they're found. So we find him to be a diligent son, don't we? That's a good sign. Someone knows how to take commands, generally then they're going to be able to figure out how to give them. If someone can be under authority, they can figure out rightly how to be in authority. It's those guys that can't be under authority that always want to rule that you don't want ruling. Right? And so he has a pretty good idea here of what it means to serve. Secondly, he seems to recognize the preciousness of the Word of God, as we said before. That's a spiritual thing, isn't it? And so he says, well, we can't go to the seer and expect that the seer would prophesy to us for nothing. The Word of God is worth something. If he's going to tell us where the asses are by the mouth of God, that's something we owe. And so that's also something that is to be commended. The other thing to be commended is Samuel comes to him and he says, all the eyes of Israel are on you. And he says, now why are they on me? I'm not only one of the smallest tribes, but one of the smallest families in the smallest tribes. And so there's a particular humility that he starts with here that is commendable. We're going to see that humility played out in the next chapter as well when he comes to be anointed. And where is he? He's hiding over there. He doesn't want to appear before the people. He's hiding out. So in all of those things, we see that Saul has a godly beginning. And then there's something else that I thought was interesting about the chapter here. Notice, what do they call Samuel at the beginning of this chapter? They call him the man of God. You see that? And then, so that's in verse 6. It's also in verse 7. And in verse 8. In verses 6, 7, and 8, they call Samuel, quote unquote, the man of God. It's another name for a prophet. Okay, but then there's this editorial comment. Did you catch that? This parenthetical comment in verse 9. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come and let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. So this tells us that the book was not written, or at least this chapter of the book, was not written contemporaneous with the time that it took place. It's a later writing, such that the writer believes that he needs to apologize or give a reason why he's going to use the older terminology. And notice that he switches halfway through the chapter or a third of the way through the chapter to the older terminology to put us more in the milieu of the realism of the original establishment. It's really interesting what he does here, but he does it in order that we might see that this is a true historical record. This just adds to our understanding of the veracity, the truthfulness of the Word of God, even in these historical portions. And even when there's a difference, a change in terminology, what does the writer do? He says, okay, I've used the word prophet and man of God here. Really, in the old time, when this was going on, they would say seer. And from verse 9 forward, the word seer is used. Okay? So that just adds to the honesty, to the veracity of the narrative. Okay, so we see the providence of God then working in all of these actions. We see the loss of the asses, the sending of Saul, the route he took to find them. You know, it's not that he just happens to end up in the place where Samuel is coming to offer the peace offering. Remember, Samuel was a circuit preacher. And so Saul's circuit is going like this, looking for donkeys. Samuel's circuit is going like this, and they just happen to meet here? Come on. It's not that way. So the route he took to find them, the knowledge of the servant, and so on, and then the people that they meet, then Samuel bringing him into the house and having that extra portion, all of these things are so that we would see God's providential dealing in the establishment of the monarchy in Israel. We're establishing this monarchy not particularly for Saul, right? We're establishing it particularly for David. Now, in the last portion of the chapter, then, we have the obedience of Samuel. He tells Saul of his office to come. He gives Saul the honored place at the table, and he also gives to Saul a private audience. So when we think of this, then, let's not be too hard on Samuel for choosing Saul. The Lord has providentially driven him there. The Lord has actually granted to Saul a measure of things that look like he would be a good king. He's tall. He's good looking. He's humble. He's diligent. He's obedient. All of these things are good, and we see them here not as Saul's permanent characteristics, but as that which Samuel beheld, so that Samuel would not have a conscience bringing this man to be king. Thus ends the reading then of 1 Samuel chapter 9.